Blog Talk Radio.
John L. Crown, author and filmmaker, native of Lake Charles, Louisiana, is taking his expose on race relations in America, Mentally Blind, Open Your Eyes, to another level by doing a documentary entitled The Mentally Blind in America. The documentary will open the viewer's eyes to homelessness, poverty, hunger, the real rules of the criminal justice system, and other poverty-related issues that challenge underemployed, unemployed, and homeless people in American post-recession. The Mentally Blind in America, a documentary, will enlighten people of color and people in poverty on how to restore their credit rating and expunge their criminal records. The Mentally Blind in America, a documentary coming this fall. Real people, real stories. The Mentally Blind, Open Your Eyes, a documentary on race, poverty, the recession's aftermath, and more. Follow our post on Facebook's The Mentally Blind in America. The Mentally Blind in America.
Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to the talk show, Uplifting Communities, Louisiana. Louisiana. And you guys got a really good host, you know, for the talk show. His name is Mr. Tommy Ray Cole. But before I go any further, I'm going to go ahead on and bring Tommy on because he's your host. This is his talk show. Go for it, Tommy.
Once again, we'd like to welcome you to the Uplifting Community Talk Show, Louisiana. Welcome, everybody. Hey, today we have an amazing guest by the name of Courtney D. Jones. And he's a minister for Christ. He's a dynamic speaker, very humble at heart, highly educated, and I recommend him to everyone to listen to his speeches because you're going to learn so much about what God, what the Lord wants us to do. And before we go any further, we're going to ask Mr. Courtney to introduce himself to everyone.
Well, good afternoon, everybody who's listening in. I just want to thank Mr. Tommy and Mr. John for giving me this opportunity to come on and chat and discuss some of the things that will bless our communities and bless our people. A little bit about myself. I'm just, man, a guy who loves his community, and I love all people, and I just want to see people do good and do better because I believe God has given us all that we need to make the changes in our lives or to accomplish the goals or dreams that he has given to us.
Awesome. Now, John and I, we have been going over your bio, and we noticed that your grandmother has had a lot to do with you coming up.
Right. I was raised by my grandmother. My grandma, in fact, raised 7 grandkids all by herself. My mother and my father had some struggles early on in their lives, and so I was taken in by my grandmother and raised by my grandmother, and I was blessed to receive that wisdom that a lot of our seasoned saints have, and I was blessed to receive that honesty because, you know, old people are extremely honest, and those things today still walk around with me because she instilled those things in me.
Very good. John, you'd like to add something?
Yeah, I wanted to say, you know, Courtney, you're 100% right. You know, I read your bio and I saw that your grandmother, you know, you follow in the footsteps of your grandmother. And man, that is so powerful. And I'm glad you say that is because right now today, there's a lot of grandmothers taking care of their grandkids, a lot, you know,
and
I would suggest, you know, to the younger people that's listening and also to the parents that listening, the grandmothers, is to talk to your grandchildren, you know, because, and like Courtney did, his grandmother, you know, taught him good values. And when I say good values, I bet you any kind of money, I'm asking Courtney one thing. Your grandmother taught you the Ten Commandments, right?
Oh, yes. Yes, indeed.
Do you think that the Ten Commandments has a great impact on young people's lives these days? Do you think that they follow the Ten Commandments?
Well, I believe they're extremely significant. Anything that comes from God, the creator of the universe, is going to be extremely significant and important. And I believe that they are the foundation of morals. You know, you receive a lesson of good morals from listening to the commandments that God has given us. And so I believe that we need to instill those kind of principles, those kind of morals into our children. And today, with this generation and the generation that I was a part of, when I was a youth, somewhere down the line, we lost connection with that kind of teaching, to where we didn't receive that teaching, or that teaching was not enforced in us. And so you see a lot of craziness going on today, and it's only going to get worse until we get back to the basics and teach people the standards of God. But my grandmother, she taught me that growing up. We was at Sunday school every Sunday. I mean, we was at Wednesday night Bible class every Wednesday. And I don't want people who are listening to think just because I went to church that means that I'm a good moral person. But it wasn't so much of just going to the church, but it was about applying the principles that we had been taught from our teachers and from our parents. And those things have made a significant difference in my life. I feel like if I wouldn't have received that information, I would probably be dead or in jail today, and I'm not exaggerating at all.
Wow. That's powerful, man. That's a very, very, very powerful statement. Well, what you think, Thomas?
It really is, because a lot of times what we don't understand is that in order for church to work, you have to apply the principles. And one of the things I teach my congregation all the time is that this church stuff has to work. I'm not a big component of making people go to church and then they not seeing any significant changes in their lives. People need to see changes in their lives in order to believe that a system works or a practice works. And the way you make that thing work is, number one, you have to apply it and you have to hold yourself accountable. And that's what I saw from my grandmother growing up. As a kid, I was noticing that I didn't have a father at home. My mother was struggling with crack, and she was on the streets at the time. And my grandmother was raising 7 kids, my mother 4 kids, and then my uncle 3 kids, all by herself. But what I did see my grandmother do was apply the principles of faith. She applied the principles of having a strong work ethic, having a strong constitution. And I would sometimes see my grandmother walk around the house crying, or she's stressed out because she's trying to make this bill and she's trying to make sure all 7 of those kids had school clothes. But what I did see her do is this lady always, no matter what happens, she always glorified God. And that was baffling to me as a kid, because I would say, you know, I was extremely independent thinking when I was a kid. I would say, well, man, if God is a good God, why are we going through all of these problems? But what my grandmother showed me is that if you glorify God through those issues and those storms of life, God will make sure that he comes and gives you back the things that probably was taken from you, or the things that you missed out on. And that's what we saw growing up. My grandmother was able to make sure all 7 of her grandkids graduated from high school. We never went without a meal. And today, you know, my family is, I have a lot of successful people in my family, and God has literally given back everything that was taken from us, or everything, you know, that we were struggling to have growing up as kids.
Awesome.
Wow. Thank you.
So now, to be held accountable and to make yourself accountable for your actions is where the difference is going to come in, right?
That's right. That's right. That's where the difference comes in. You can't continue to blame people for your circumstances. You know, while people may have something to do with your circumstances, you know, and just to speak on us as African Americans, you know, we did not choose to come to this country. Our oppressors brought us to this country, but we can't continue to complain about that and whine about that. We have to pull ourselves up by our own bootstraps and we have to fight back when it comes to education, fight back when it comes to economic development and community enrichment, and do for ourselves. Because if you continue to point the finger, you will continue to be oppressed. Nobody will voluntarily take their foot off of your neck. You have to force it off. And so that's what it's about. That's how success is earned, and that's how success is reached.
Amen.
You know,
amen. And you're preaching, young man.
Oh,
that's right.
Oh, glory to God.
Courtney, when you mentioned something about we have to, you know, pull ourselves up by the bootstraps, okay? But I told that to somebody, and they told me, they say, well, there's a lot of people don't have boots to pull up. Now, how would these people go about getting these boots?
Well, I don't know who told you that, but whoever told you that, I would have to agree with them. That is true. When you take a survey of the community, and I'm talking specifically about the black community right now, because we're impoverished, we're going through a whole lot, we're struggling in so many ways, and a lot of our people don't have boots, so to say. And what we have to do is us who call ourselves leaders, we have to connect with those people, our people. We have to teach our people. We have to encourage our people. And it starts with first education. We have to teach our people how this system works. And if you don't teach your people how this system works, but you call yourself a leader, I believe really that's like being a false prophet, so to say. A lot of these people who call themselves leaders, they don't give back to the community. They don't teach their people the truth about what's going on. I was talking to this with a buddy of mine a few days ago, and we was talking about the economic system in this country and how we didn't learn about economics in school. We didn't learn about economics in elementary, middle school, or high school, or even going to HBU. You know, it's not very much we was told about the economic system of America. We didn't know what capitalism is. And so to graduate with a bachelor's degree or a master's degree, or some of us even graduate with PhDs, we are still behind because nobody's really telling us the truth about how this system works in this country. And you have to, if you're going to be a leader, and you know, you can't forsake your people and ride off into the sunset on your yacht and your people are struggling to get around. You know, you have to give your people something to work with. So I believe it starts with the leaders giving back to the people. You know, that's one of the things I tell my wife all the time is that, you know, babe, I know we want, you know, what's best for us, but we can't forget about the people. We have to spread something to the people in order for this thing to work out for the whole entire community. But that's my opinion.
You know, I got to agree with you 100%, Courtney, is because you said something that was very important. We have to know how the system works. And the majority of people in our communities, African-Americans, because we're talking about African-Americans now, most don't know how the system works. You know,
no, we don't.
You know, not to say that our people is dumb or not, because we're not dumb. We're very smart people. But
yes,
we don't know how the system works. We know how the system works in the hood. You know, the don't tell. That's a death penalty if you're a snitch. You know, we know that system. But we don't know.
Right.
We don't. You know what I'm saying? The system that actually run this world. How to get money, how to get, and things like that if you got a nonprofit organization. You know.
Right.
Okay, what you think, Tom?
Yes, sir. Yeah. Now, I'd like to add, too, Mr. Courtney, you're the minister over at the Mill Street Church of Christ. Right here in Lake Charles, Louisiana. Yes,
correct.
Sir. Now, I've heard you speak, sir, and I see how God is choosing you to do a mighty work. I've seen folk there, hey, where they're praising God because God has blessed them to understand his word even better. And so I want to commend you on that, man.
Thank you.
Marvelous work. Yes, sir.
Thank you.
But now also, you have a you guys have a garden ministry there also. Is that right?
Right. And it's still in development, but I guarantee you we'll have it up and running before the end of this year, because one of the things you have to look at when you're surveying the black community, and it's just not the black community, when you just survey all of America, when it comes to our diets, we are a very unhealthy people, you know. But when you look at specifically the black community, we are killing ourselves with the food that we're eating and the way we carry ourselves and all of this stress that we have. We lead the statistics almost in every category when it comes to poor health. 40.9% of African-American men have hypertension after the age of 20 years old. 44.6% African-American women have hypertension after the age of 20. And so a lot of this has to do with our dieting. A lot of this has to do with the stress that we're under. And then we're trying to satisfy that stress or medicate that stress by eating, you know, fried chicken all the time or gumbo all the time and cake and Kool-Aid and having a Diet Coke. And we don't understand that you can't eat that kind of stuff every day and think that you're going to be in tip-top shape. And so one of the things I wanted to do was start a community garden to show the community that we can grow our own food, you know, and that food can be organic, you know, vegetables, onions, cucumbers, all kind of things that have some nutritious value to the body rather than polluting our body with a, you know, a Big Mac because we can get it in 5 minutes. We have to learn how to slow down, be patient, and give the body what it needs, not what we feel, but actually what it needs. And a lot of times what the body needs won't always taste good to you or be satisfying. Not to say that eating healthy is nasty, because I'm a vegan. You know, I don't eat any meats. I don't consume any dairy products, and I have great food almost every day. But I'm learning even now how to give my body what it needs and not what I want. And it's been such a blessing to me. You know, if you would have met me years ago, I was 345 pounds. Now I'm down to, I'm down to 248, and I'm solid, you know, and my goal is to be 200. And I'm pretty sure I'll reach that goal, not being cocky or anything, but, you know, anything you put your mind to, you can achieve. I'll reach that goal by the end of this year. But all of that comes through educating myself, studying, and developing self-control, not giving myself what I want, but giving myself what it needs, what my body needs. And that's been such a blessing to me and my family, and that's what I want to give back to my congregation, my church, and that's what I want to give to my community. And we have great people at my congregation, Miss Sandra Hamilton and Mr. Lavert Blunt and Mr. Alexander Hamilton and so many other people at the congregation who also brought their ideas to me and wanted to start this garden. So I don't want people to think that this was just my idea, but I had several people in my congregation who wanted to do that, and that's what they're doing, and they're running it, and they're putting on they're making some sacrifices to make sure that garden gets up and running, and we're going to serve the community by doing so.
Great. Well, man, you know, that explains right there how God is using you. You know, not many folk are concerned about the health of others. You know, when you can take the time to get people healthier, you know, that's what's going to get folk and pull on folk and get them and give them more energy to go out and do certain things, you know, and at least even last longer at whatever their work is, you know. So
right.
That is great, man. And hey, I commend you for that work too, man. We all need to be more healthy.
Right.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Around that neck of the woods, you know, around Louisiana, Lake Charles, Opelousas, and all that area, Well, then our people was actually farmers, you know, around that area. And, you know, and then they got away from farming. But, I just wish that they would have took the time and taught a lot of us how to grow these things, because them people were smart. They was brilliant. They ran big farms, you know. When you talking about these people, we don't give our people, I understand we look at them as though they were slaves or this, but we got to start giving our people a little bit more credit, man. These people were smart.
Yes, indeed.
That if you want to elaborate on something or ask a question, please press 1. Okay, we don't have that much time left, so if you guys want to participate, please press 1. Okay, go ahead on, Tommy.
Okay, now, also, too, we understand that you're getting ready to display even more your ability, your talent, which God has blessed you with by taking on this role in a gospel stage play. Is that right?
Right. And I had a gentleman named Tommy Cole who basically told me, man, I got to do it or I'm going to get in trouble by him. So I decided to go ahead and do it. But this is a great stage play. I've read over the script, and I think it's a positive story. It's a realistic story about what people go through when it comes to relationships and when it comes to marriages, when it comes to their relationship and faith in God and just relationships with people, period. I think one of the things that we have to understand as a people is that relationships are not easy when you're being oppressed or when you're under a lot of pressure. And you have to learn how to love. We have to learn how to love as a community. And we have to learn how to love ourselves first. And that's what this stage play is about. And I'm really just blown away that Mr. Cole, you have that kind of talent to write a stage play like that. At first, I wanted to say, man, that's heathen right there. It's probably Steven Spielberg or Spike Lee or somebody wrote this. But it's a Tyler Perry, you know, but it's a great play, and I'm looking forward to doing it. And this is my first time doing something like this, but hey, it's a great experience, and I think it'll bless the community in Lake Charles and anybody who wants to come and watch this play. They'll be entertained, they'll laugh, they'll probably cry, you know, and they'll also receive some great information on how to probably better their relationships that they're in, you know.
Right. Yeah, I heard about the stage play. Matter of fact, the stage play was played, didn't you do it about a year ago, Tommy, or less than a year ago?
About two years ago.
Oh, okay, and it's coming back. And I heard that stage play was powerful. I say, wow, Tommy Rayo. But, you know, also, but Tommy then did you were saying that, you know, about Tyler Perry and stuff, but Tommy then played in movies. You know, you know, like Martin Lawrence and a few other great actors, you know, well known actors. Tommy, plus, I remember when I first met Tommy, you know, I met Tommy because I was sitting out watching television, and Tommy was on TV on a commercial. So what had happened, we was going to Houston, Texas for a stage play. I think it was some cancer event that was going on. And Tommy was one of the main characters in the stage play for the cancer benefit. So I'm in a bathroom. I'm in a bathroom, and I said, man, I know you from somewhere. Come to find out, he was the guy that I saw on television. You know,
yeah.
And me and him been friends ever since. You know,
awesome.
Yeah, but now I'd like to add this, if you guys don't mind. Yes, and that's glory to God, man, and that's what God can do with you when you allow Him to work through you. You know, and this is all I ever want in life: to allow God to work through me to do good work. You know, I thank God for you guys. You guys are definitely going to bless me. Courtney, trust me, I have grown from the last from day one when I've heard you. I have grown from then till now, and I have God to thank for you. I thank you. And John, you've always been there to me and for me. You've always encouraged me, and you brought this writing out of me. I never thought I could write until I met you. So, hey,
right.
I'm definitely grateful. But now back to you, Mr. Courtney. You are a very young man, and if you don't mind telling your age, we'd like to know your age, sir.
Well, I'm 31 years of age. I just made 31 this year, March 5th. I was born in 1986, and I'm just continuing to live life. I'm grateful to be alive. You know, I'm grateful to have a family and to just know great people in this world. You know, I'm grateful to live in this country. I have to be honest. You know, there are a lot of problems in America, but America, there are a lot of benefits to living in this country, and one of the things that I'm always cognizant of and conscious of is that there are people all over the world right now who are born in third world countries who don't get a lot of opportunities that we get in this country. And so I feel like when we open our eyes up in this country and when we are raised in this country, we need to take advantage of being in this country and make the best of it and give back to our community, give back to humanity. Because that's what it's about. I don't think the 300 million plus people who are born in this country or living in this country are here for any you know, any reason, but to make a difference and make a change and better the world. And I want people to take notice of that. You're not in this country to just have a good time and play and go live in the mansion and buy a yacht. You're in this country to change the world. You know, you can change the world by living in a country like America. And so I want people to be cognitive of that and start making the changes that they need to in order to bless the whole entire world.
That's right.
You're right. You're 100% right, Courtney. That's just like a person going to college. You ask most people why they're going to college. And they would say, well, I'm going to get me an education so I can make a better job. But people, a lot of people go to college to learn and to make changes
right.
in this world.
Right.
You,
right.
That's
right.
why
that's right.
should be the main goal of going to college is to make a change in this world. But
that's
anyway,
we only got
2 minutes left on the show, and I'm gonna ask Mr. Tommy Ray Cole if you don't mind closing this out.
Sure. Mr. Courtney, first of all, we'd like to thank you for coming on to our show and having us interview you. It's a great interview, and we really appreciate it. Thank you.
Oh, thank you, Mr. Cole. And if I can add just one thing, I left somebody out when it came to the garden. Well, really two people, because I want to make sure I get them because they've been really making some sacrifices. Monica Russell, who's also a member of our congregation, Mill Street Church of Christ, she's also on the garden ministry, and she's also doing some great things. And then last but not least, Mr. John O'Donnell. Mr. John O'Donnell, he works for the city of Lake Charles. He's a part of the Healthier Southwest Louisiana Foundation, and this guy has made so many contributions to us, and he's really been there with us trying to help us get this garden off of the ground. And so I would be sad if I didn't get a chance to mention him and thank him for all of the work that he's doing.
Amen. Now, one other question. If there was any encouragement that you would like to leave for everybody that's listening in, what would be your statement now?
I just finished reading, and I've read this book about 5 times, but every now and then I try to get it right back in my memory bank and get some information from it. But the narrative of the life of Frederick Douglass, and one of the famous quotes of Frederick Douglass is that without struggle, there's no progress. And our people need to know that just because you're struggling does not mean that you're not making any progress. A lot of times progression comes with struggle. You have to learn how to push and fight and continue to pull until you've achieved what it is that you're trying to achieve. So I want to tell the community and the people in Louisiana, and especially Southwest Louisiana, keep your heads up. Don't lose faith. Believe in yourself. You're not an accident. You were put on this earth to accomplish something. And I love you. And if you ever need anything, please feel free to contact me or Mill Street Church of Christ.
Amen. Now, 10 seconds left, John. Closes out.
Okay, thank you all, and hopefully we'll get a chance to hear from you all again next Saturday. Tune in, same time. Same station. Thank you all. Have a great day. God bless.
God bless everybody. And good night.
Good night.